am here in studio with State Representative Joan Moschino of Hull from the 3rd Plymouth District. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Only you could get me off of the beach today, Christine.
It is beautiful out there. Yes, I noticed you have a good light tan. Good, squeeze that in before you came over here. Love that. Now, as we've been talking, because we check in on a regular basis, the formal session at the House, at the State House, has ended. You're an informal session. But that doesn't mean you're on summer vacation. That means things change a little bit. Explain to our listeners what that means.
Oh, there's a lot of work still going on. Under our rules, a formal session ended on July 31st, which meant that the full body doesn't convene for roll call votes. But that does not mean that the work is stopped. Mm-hmm. There's still a lot of bills that could come forward. You know, we've talked about House 705, which is the youth voter engagement. So we'll see if we can. And sweet talk, third reading to let that one move forward. We also have one that has to do with like condo taxes and, you know, smaller things that mm-hmm. didn't make it into these big omnibus bills. And quite frankly, we didn't finish all the business that was on the table. So there are smaller bills like the drought management bill that mm-hmm. was in the climate bill that didn't quite get finished. So there's still business to be done, home rule petitions, all of that stuff. And the House and the Senate each meet twice every week.
I would say the rules of engagement, but that sounds like war. The rules of engagement do change a little bit with how things can get passed or how things can get shut down.
So things can continue to be done on voice votes, but it has to be done by acclamation. All it takes is one member to object, and then that's it. So it really is only the things that everybody agrees on. Anything controversial really will have to be refiled at the top of the session, which begins in January.
Okay, it seems like it's not that far away. Well, maybe
4 months. Just 4 months. I mean, I think that's the thing with government is that, you know, certainly with end of session, leaving a few things on the table to get negotiated. But it's only 4 months until everything starts up as a formal process again. And you have to keep the long view of government. Don't forget, it has to be timely. It has to be relevant. It has to be well vetted. And we all have to agree. And that is actually a good thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, with the housing bond bill that did go through, there was a flexible pool fund in that. And contained within this were a couple of things that you were really pushing for. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
So we were very fortunate to get create a flexible pool fund. And what that is, it's just a way of procuring services, support services, so that we can create permanent supportive housing for folks. It's the thing that gets people out of shelter and off the streets and out of the emergency room. It could be for anybody, you know, someone not aging well, veteran with PTSD, someone with opiate addiction, people with disabilities, whatever, trauma, you know, homeless because of domestic violence. And there, you know, there's a lot of trauma. These are very medically complex people, and they deserve a home, and they just need a modicum of supports. So the FlexPool Fund is a way of, you know, pulling all of the existing supports, all of the existing program dollars in, and meeting people where they need. Mm-hmm. So think of Father Bills.
I was just going to ask you.
It's Father Bills. He's really leading in this regard to create this kind of housing and to transition people from shelter or the streets into supportive housing. And then hopefully on to other types of housing as people get their feet back under them. So we're pretty excited.
And something that we've talked about as this has gone through, since there's so many good local community, or people used to refer them all cable access, but it's really community media, and so many towns have great organizations that do this. And they're suffering a little bit with funding, and you have been a champion of getting the streaming companies to kick up a little bit of money. It's very small. It's a very small percentage. It's similar to what the cable companies did to actually support this with local, to support local news. How has this gone?
Oh, so you're very kind. So Mass Access, which is your trade organization, brought this to us, and we were able to get a favorable report out of the committee. We weren't able to get it any further than that, so it is in House Ways and Means and Senate Ways and Means. But people are starting to really understand it. They're starting to engage around it. And we're going to refile it at the top of the session in January. And the nice thing is that the committee really has dug into the bill finally. They paid attention to it and they understand it. So, you know, even though it feels like we're starting from scratch, that's not true. It's we're starting from that favorable report, mm-hmm. and we'll have a different plan for how we try to move it through the legislature. But we're just going to keep going. It's hugely important, and you understand that.
Absolutely, because it's, frankly, if they keep losing money, it's another nail in the coffin of local news.
That's right.
And there's so much demand for that, and with the cutback in the papers, and the breadth and the depth of coverage they supply is tremendous. And I think that was proven during COVID, and it's just kind of blossomed since then. Tell our listeners a little bit about how that would work. It wouldn't be some tremendous fee.
Oh, no. It would work exactly the same way that your cable bill does now. So it would be assessing a 5% fee on streaming services. So think Disney or Netflix or Max, whatever. Mm-hmm. And that money will come into the state and transfer directly to each of the municipalities to run their PEG access facilities. So it's just all we're doing is keeping the model that we have now that's worked so well. It's created mm-hmm. A thriving ecosystem of PEG facilities, right? PEG access facilities. Mm-hmm. All we're doing is we're following the customers. They're choosing different ways to obtain their entertainment media. And we like technology, we like innovation, and mm-hmm. we're just following the customers. So it shouldn't be any more or less. It's just different companies where we'll be assessing those fees. And we've done some research, and it really does, it really will make a difference. It's not this outrageous amount of money, but it really will make a difference and just keep supporting municipal services and, most importantly, the transparency in government and all of the programming that you all love.
It's true, and it provides such a great service. We partner with a lot of these groups, and we have political forums, things like that. Without this, that will just go away. That's why I'm an advocate for it, and I don't hide that fact. I think that they provide a very valuable service. Now, speaking of service, a lot of times people think, oh, it's a state rep, she or he, they're in the state house, so I don't talk to them. You have office hours.
Yes.
That means you can actually, a resident, a constituent can actually bring their concerns, questions, or problems to you. How does that work? I think a lot of times people might be a little intimidated. Oh, I don't want to waste our time.
Oh, no. Absolutely. Swing by. That is exactly why we do the office hours. I am, every Monday, I am somewhere in the district for office hours. Mm-hmm. We trade it up. We start at Linden Ponds. The next week, we're at the Cohasset Senior Center. Then the following week, we're at the Hull Senior Center. And then the last Monday of the month, we're always in the afternoon at the Hingham Library. So we try to do different places that are convenient. They're all public spaces. And, you know, morning, afternoon, we really try to change it up. And if those aren't good times for you to just drop by and say hello, talk about policy, share your perspective on something, mm-hmm. ask for help, you know, whatever it is that you want to chat about, you can always call my office, 617-722-2092. A very nice young man named Harrison will answer that phone, and he can either try to assist you himself, or you can set up time to chat with me.
That is terrific. And anything else you want to add that's new in the district, or you think our listeners might want to know about you in the 3rd Plymouth District?
You know, I just want to give a quick shout out. Hull Veterans Council did a beautiful monument this past week for building awareness around and to commemorate those who died for Agent Orange. And it was a wonderful, wonderful, Mr. Burke did a great job, wonderful ceremony, and everybody had easily 80 or 90 people. Everyone came out. So it was really nice. I just wanted to give him a quick shout out. But yeah, everyone's just enjoying the good weather. There's tons of people on Nantasket Beach. All of the shops and stores are open. And so, you know, come on down to 3rd Plymouth District. It's, you know, between Wampatuck State Park, Nantasket Beach, the islands, you know, World's End. I mean, we got a lot going on.
It is a beautiful district. And again, that's State Representative Joan Moschino of Hull. And she represents Hull, Hingham, and Cohasset. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.